conceptual strategies for efficient operations. That's a big title. What I really want to talk about a little bit is how are we going to operate the ATSD, and how do we do this differently to what we do today. So this is the outline of my talk. One of the major concepts driven by efficiency is the observing model. That's what I want to concentrate on. A big part of that is the so-called service mode, and operations like that have a lot of consequences compared to what we do today. So I'm going to try to explain here a little bit and describe what tools we need, what procedures are not in place yet. I concentrate more on the tools that we need, and I use input from an experiment we made beginning of this year at the DST, where for the first time we actually operated the facility for 1 month in this service mode. And I have a short, very short summary. So how is the facility used for solar observations and made available to the user today? So at the DST, we basically operate in the so-called PI mode. That's also called classical mode or visitor mode at other facilities. The basic characteristics are, this is of course proposal-based, so it's a competitive process. Fixed time schedules are allocated, and the PI actually travels. So you guys come to us and do the observations there. We support that, but you make all the real-time decisions, meaning you select the target. You say, when do we start the observations? When do we end the observations? And when your time is over, you take your data and you go home. So this is a little bit different as we imagine for the ATSD, the so-called service mode. We will also make available an access mode. It's a new name, but basically it is the PI mode. So this service mode is very well known, and it's an approach that is routinely used in nighttime and radio astronomy, where it's sometimes also called the Q mode. It is, of course, also proposal-based. But it is quite a novel approach for the ground-based high-res solar community. So what does this service mode encompass? It means that time actually is not allocated in fixed blocks anymore. It is dynamically allocated on a daily basis almost. And it is allocated when conditions for a specific proposal are actually fulfilled. The observatory staff is doing all operations and all decision making. So we have some actors involved. We have operators, the resident astronomer. The resident astronomer is basically the replacement for you. The PI is not present, and this has a lot of consequences, but he is probably participating remotely from somewhere in the world. We don't know. The main motivation for this mode is to increase efficiency, of course, but also scientific productivity and attract new users. It allows making very efficient use of target availability, weather conditions, technical readiness, and it supports a broad range of programs. And I'm just going to mention here synaptic programs, survey programs, and very important target of opportunity. So as I mentioned before, this has consequences because you are not there. And the question is, are we prepared for that, for the ATSD? So to figure that out, whether we are prepared, are we missing something so far? The main question here is how are observations obtained in this mode? What tools are needed? Where are open questions still? And again, I use here a lot of input from this experiment that we made in our beginning of this year. So I would like to go through different phases or steps during the observing procedure that encompasses planning, that is, when are the observations obtained, execution, how are they performed, and maybe if I have time, completion. So planning, when are the observations obtained? Of course, after the experiment or everything is prepared. So we imagine that we test your program and we test the instrument settings that you propose for. When this has been completed, then a queue, that's basically a list of proposals that could be performed on the next day or the next days, based on, this queue is generated based on, is the target that you want to observe actually available, of course? Are all the instruments ready? And according to a scientific ranking, because all the proposals that come in will be scientifically ranked. Oops. So there are a couple of tools that we need for that we do not have right now. One is this queue generation tool that we call the planning tool. We need tools that help us to select and identify proper targets. And during the DSD service mode, it turned out what we basically did, every day we monitored and relied heavily on external sources. The DSD does not have a full disk imager. So we heavily relied on HMI data, continuum magnetograms, also Gong-2, to identify chromospheric targets like filaments and fibrils and all kinds of stuff, prominences. And what turned out to be really helpful is if different sources could be overlaid. And after we selected a target, in some cases we communicated with the PI by email, we sent him images indicating what target we have chosen and verified in such a way that he is happy with that. What is open is target of opportunity. Now there are different classes or categories of target of opportunity. The most difficult ones, of course, is the flare case because it is unpredictable. So you cannot react fast enough, basically. And it is challenges because there are no real policies available at the moment, and we do not have a reliable trigger for such observations. So what we made use of during the DST service mode, what was actually proposed by one of the PIs, because we were not aware of this program, was we relied on a messaging system created by the Max Millennium Program, and they would send out emails. I mean, they do that to alert messages for potential flaring areas. And if we would get such a message on the day before, the next day we would observe that active region. Now, unfortunately, we never came into that situation. We had 4 flare proposals, and unfortunately, we never got such a message that allowed us to observe that active region that could potentially flare. But this is one of the things that we are still trying to work out with the flare community. How to do this better and how to get you the data of flares that you really want. I come now to the execution. How are the observations performed? Well, once you have a queue, once you have a plan of what you want to do the next day, you select the program that is you select one of the programs that is available based, again, on the ranking, the conditions. Basically, also seeing plays a very, very big role. You verify the target again. Is the pre-selected target still suitable? Then you initialize data acquisition, take the data. You repeat the process as long as possible. But the only thing that is really difficult is this thing when do you start and when do you end when the PI is not there? Because when the in PI mode, the people come and they have basically 7 to 10 days sometimes, and they try their program over and over again. And most of the time they are lucky and they get really their optimal data set. But we have to do this much more efficiently and faster. This decision-making process, when you start and when you cancel an observation, and to do this for somebody else is actually not as easy as it sounds. So what we need here is something that helps the resident astronomer to make those decisions. An important tool would be a seeing monitor, meaning a display of the evolution of the seeing. We are imagining that this could be the Freed parameter, and that is information that the adaptive optics system would provide. Otherwise, if you do not have such a tool, again, you basically rely on your personal experience as an observer. And each of us who participated as resident astronomers in that DST service mode experiment, we are all slightly different. We make different decisions. And in the end, this can lead to inhomogeneous data sets, and we would like to avoid that. Secondary are monitors displaying the evolution of several weather indicators. What is an open question is if we come into a situation where we have to cancel or abort an ongoing observation because the observing conditions worsen, what do we do with that program? Do we repeat it on another day? Do we just don't do that? Do we communicate with the PI whether the data set he already has is maybe sufficient? So this is an open question. A little bit difficult are also the execution of programs that extend over several days, like survey programs. So these are still things that we try to figure out also with the science working group. Completion, when is the proposal completed? A technical definition would be all your data has been acquired and all programs, meaning scripts, that have been run completed successfully. In principle, this means that we have to track everything that we do. And this means you have to a couple of tools available that help you to keep the overview. And we like to keep this a bookkeeping tool that needs to be developed. Open questions are even if a proposal was completed and the user gets his data, what happens if he is totally unhappy? What do we do then? If a program could not be completed or performed at all, is there a process that automatically rolls over that proposal to the next observing cycle, so to say? So these are, again, a couple of things that we still need to work out. So in summary, very quickly, I think that we have made some progress in identifying what we are still missing. That's a good thing. We definitely need to ease the operations if you are not there by developing all these tools. Much of the stuff is also policy related. These are not there yet. They need to be developed as well. And what is really important, I think we need simply more experience with this service mode. So the DST service mode operations should go on and continue to get more experience and address open issues. And I would like to end my presentation with an announcement. we will repeat this experiment this October. The proposal deadline is a little bit tight, August 15th. For information, please go to our webpage. For those of you who participated in the first cycle, there are some slight changes in how we do the proposal preparation and also how the instruments will work. And I cannot pronounce enough that your participation is really crucial, because it is one way how you can actually influence the path towards ATSD operations. Thank you.
Hi, I'm interested to know how much processing data we'll receive before we get the result data sets from our proposal.
You are referring to whether we will make available reduced data instead of raw data.
Yes.
For this first experiment, we only made available raw data. We are working really hard to change that, and particularly for some instruments, provide fully reduced data. So I would assume that maybe partially for this cycle two, we can help you much more than before. For cycle three, it might be already instrument signal removed data. So.
Okay, one last question.
So far, how do you do the scientific ranking?
That is a very good question. That is something that we had very little experience with. We did this only internally within the group that supports, as resident astronomers, the experiment. Each of us read all proposals, and then we were discussing those proposals. We met actually over 3 days, because not everybody was in agreement with each other. But we gave grades, and then in the end, we averaged those grades and had a final list.